Ace Podcast.
Weird.
I wish everyone could see us playing air drums and air guitar while that plays.
I don't know how Mark Patch does it.
He has a guitar
and drums,
and a mixer and some other stuff.
He's got a red snare drum that's gorgeous.
Yeah, it is. I saw it. But hey, that's neither here nor there. This is Craig.
I forgot we were recording. I thought we were still just talking.
And who are you?
My name's Aaron.
And this is Weird. This is the podcast that brings you all the weird stories.
The best and weird news coverage available.
But you know what it doesn't bring you this week? It doesn't bring you the drop that says top story.
No, it doesn't.
You know why? Because somebody forgot to put it in the Mac.
Got a new soundboard, you know. Forgot that one, but we still have this one.
Darn it.
Yeah, but we don't have the important one.
You know what else we got this week?
It means
week?
You've got to do the sound effect, and I've got to do the top story thing.
Okay, we could work it that way. That may be just as easy.
You'll practice it.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Top story. Yeah, that kind of worked a little bit.
Yeah, but
I mean, it'll do.
You may have confused our listeners, though. It's not top story time.
No, right now it's review time.
It is. We got a good review on
that's to say we
iTunes.
Normally get bad reviews?
No, we always get good reviews because we got the...
Remember you said we delete the bad ones?
Oh, I wish. This one is from Brian Buck 13, who headlined this thing, All the Weird That's Fit to Print, and gave us 5 stars.
Way to go, Brian.
Here's what he said. Aaron and Craig find the weirdest stories on the internet and give their hilarious commentary every time I'm laughing out loud. Thank you, Brian. I appreciate that. It makes us feel good when we get good
What a
reviews.
Guy that Brian Buck 13.
Yeah, speaking of Brian Buck 13, maybe he's already, or she, it's a he because it's Brian, but maybe he's already passed.
I mean, we're not. Passing judgment if it is a
absolutely
shame. No, we're just saying it sounds like a guy,
but I bet Brian has already gone to podcastawards.com and nominated Weird.
Yeah, you got to go there. You got to go to podcastawards.com.
Adam Curry,
the guy from MTV years ago.
That's the first one you vote for us on. The second, and by the way, my dad, I was showing him how to vote this morning, bless his heart, and he loves our show. He listens every week. Had good surgery this week. He got home this morning, actually just got home. But he wanted to vote for us.
He
needed my help pulling it up on his phone and everything. So we got through there. And when I went to the Brian Curry Awards, there's so many. We've got so much competition.
Yeah, we need you guys to – it's time for some tough love again. You want to go to Craig's Tough Love Corner? Hey, everybody, listen. This is Craig. We need you to get off your butt and go nominate us for
Please.
This award.
Anyway,
I mean, all these hours of laughs that we bring you. Is it too much to ask for 2 minutes of your time?
We've got like 100 hours out there now, and there's probably a good 10 minutes of laughs in
and
that 100 hours.
If you don't go nominate us, Aaron's going to punch a kitten in the face.
I could not ever do that.
What if it's a really ugly cat?
But anyway, vote for us in the Brian. In the Adam Curry section, and then go down to the comedy section. There's not as many in comedy, and while they put us in comedy, I don't know, Craig.
I don't know. I guess at the time there wasn't a lot to choose from, right?
I guess not. That's all we got. It's time to get to the weird news. You got top story?
I do. Top story. That worked pretty good. Pennsylvania woman lit boyfriend on fire, used urine to put out flames,
Gross.
Cops say.
I don't know. I think I'd rather just burn.
He just let me burn to death. A Pennsylvania woman was nabbed after cops said she lit her boyfriend on fire and then used urine to put out the blaze.
Now, was this fresh? Or was it? You better go ahead
Does
and read.
Does it matter?
Yeah, I don't know.
Leanne Sepeliak, 38, allegedly sent her beau a blaze. She set. She didn't send him.
She may have.
She
could have
sent
him
a blaze. Sunday, following a heated argument in the basement of her parents' Penn Hills home.
Oh.
The woman doused her boyfriend, who was not identified, so she doesn't know who he is.
No, he got burned. They couldn't tell who it was.
Oh, I thought she didn't know who he was. I mean, I don't know. It could be him.
He looks crispy.
And she doused him in gasoline before using a lit cigarette.
Oh.
Now, I've always heard that won't light gasoline. That must not be true.
Must not be.
She used a lit cigarette to ignite the blaze, police said. She then proceeded to use a bucket of urine, which the couple used as a toilet to put out the flames.
Okay, that one sentence explains, you know what it did? It set the scene in my mind of where these people are.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
I think that if any takeaways you have from this podcast episode, it would be this sentence.
First of all.
She then proceeded to use a bucket of urine, which the couple used as a toilet to put out the flames.
Hey, good thing there was just urine in it.
It's unclear what the couple was fighting about prior to the blaze.
But he didn't flush.
Sepeliak told police anger sparked the bizarre encounter.
I thought the cigarette sparked it.
That's what I thought. The victim was taken to UPMC Mercy in Pittsburgh for treatment. He suffered burns on 25% of his body and is expected to live, but will have the smell of urine on him forever. No, I made that part up.
Okay, here's a story that Craig sent broadheads up to me this week. Headline is Vegan Cafe.
Oh, yeah.
Vegan?
It's vegan.
Vegan, okay. Yes.
And you're going to have to watch how you say this. Vegan, let's make this nice.
I will. I'll do my best.
Let's make this as nice as we can.
Vegan Cafe loses its customer who accuses owner's baby of showing them its rear end.
Yes.
All over the place. I mean, the whole rear end.
We're talking like the operational part of the rear end.
We've all been there. You have a crappy time at a restaurant with food, and you could have made better and cheaper at home, you know. I do that, Craig. I'll go home and make better and cheaper food every once in a while.
You're cheap.
Yeah. And you decide to voice your concerns on a review.
As you would.
Sure. But that's how we fight back nowadays.
I think Yelp gave us permission.
I think they did. But when a woman left a not exactly glowing Yelp review for Imagine Vegan Cafe in Memphis, Tennessee.
Well, Memphis. You got to watch yourself.
I didn't think they had vegans in Memphis. We don't think she knew the drama it was about to cause. Have you had Memphis barbecue?
I go through Memphis and keep going as fast as I can. I don't stop.
Well, where I work, I have to go to Memphis every once in a while to do business.
Pick up your drugs.
Boy, there's some delicious barbecue in Memphis.
Oh, I'm sure.
But in a Yelp review that has since been taken down, the once now regular and now unwelcome customer had a bit of an issue with a baby that showed her its rear end and an older kid who then came over, Craig, and started yodeling and staring at her during her meal.
The yodeling is really where they cross the line. I mean, I think if we're all fair about the situation.
This is so weird. This is a perfect story for us, but I'm going to read the review. So, first of all, let yodeling sink in. I mean,
what I'm saying. Yodeling is really the crime.
It's bad enough that a young kid moons you, you know, as moonable as possible. But then another young child comes up and starts yodeling while staring at you. 2 stars. They gave it 2 stars.
Well, yeah, that was generous.
On the real, I eat here all the time. I still probably will because I like to go there and there are a few options available to me. But y'all listen. During my visit, a bare butt naked baby was running around, stood up on a table with its
dirty feet,
bent over and showed me its rear end. I wish I was exaggerating.
I wish you were exaggerating.
This is like while I'm eating, and it's the owner's kid, question mark?
Yep.
An older kid came over and started like yodeling
and
staring at me during my meal. I wonder if this was a dream this lady had.
She was on something.
This is completely bizarre.
She's on that Memphis wacky tobacco.
She continues with, I was so uncomfortable. Like, I get it's a family establishment and kids do weird things, but a naked baby was running around for like 15 minutes while all the workers stared, and they just standing on one side talking and laughing over it. And for my food, I can heat up a tofurkey sausage just as well and in under half the time.
But at the end of the day, you're stuck with tofurkey.
Doesn't matter.
You know, I left a bad review last night.
Did you really?
On the Googles.
For what?
I was eating last night. The food was good, but I was eating. This is a true story. This could not be more timely. You ready for this?
I've been waiting,
Craig's
yes.
True story. So I was at a place. We won't name it. It was a place where you get foot-long sandwiches, and it rhymes with Bubsay. And
don't bring up Jared, please.
And so I'm eating my sandwich.
Yeah?
It's good. It was a flatbread sandwich.
Oh,
and
I'm hungry.
I feel something on the back of my neck. I think it's a moth or something.
Uh-oh.
I smack my mouth, and I knock a cockroach
on the floor. Oh, good grief. It wasn't the Bub Sway up here in our area, was
no,
it?
No.
Okay,
it was,
very good.
It was actually in the Schwank part of town. It was kind of like further south.
Franchi.
And I, of course, dispatched him immediately.
Good for you. And but you know for every one you see, there's 1,000.
Well, that's what bothers me about it. So I went and told him, I said, I don't want to make a big deal.
Look.
But you kind of might want to call the exterminator.
And you said, my name is Craig from the Weird Podcast.
I said,
and,
I don't know why I'm talking like Jack Nicholson. But I just said, you know, I said, you just might want to take care of it.
Darn it.
Anywho.
Let's stick with the food theme, shall we?
Let's do it. Whole Foods chicken salad recalled due to being tuna salad. Makes sense. Seems fair.
There's no chicken in my chicken salad, but there is some fish.
It's chicken of the sea.
Oh.
more than 400 pounds
good
of buffalo
night.
Style chicken salad. That sounds good.
That, you could fit that on this table right
sold
now.
Sold at Whole Foods is being recalled for an unusual reason. It's actually tuna salad. The U.S. Department of Agriculture's Food Safety Inspection Service announced the 12.5-ounce containers labeled buffalo style chicken salad and sold at Whole Foods stores in Connecticut, New Jersey, and New York are being recalled because they're actually mislabeled tuna salad. Stop for a second.
Okay.
This is not a bacteria. This is not something spoiled.
No.
Can we not just relabel them?
Absolutely. If it's
Come
still
on.
Fresh, what in the world?
What the heck? The USDA said the affected containers were made June 27th.
Affected with what? Tuna?
They're affected with the wrong label.
Yeah.
Were made June 27th and bear the establishment number the dreaded P-8827.
Ooh, they got a P-8827.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Toonie-7.
Toonies, that's exactly what it was.
The USDA said there have not been any confirmed reports of adverse reactions from people eating the mislabeled food. Well, that's true. People that are allergic to
tuna,
seafood.
Mercury.
Can't eat seafood stuff.
I don't eat seafood. See, I'd be angry, but it wouldn't make me sick.
Well, you're weird.
I'd say this tuna salad, I mean, this chicken salad tastes terrible.
This chicken salad tastes just like tuna.
Yuck.
Anyway, the USDA said there not been any confirmed reports of adverse reactions from people eating the mislabeled salad.
Well, that's good news.
But officials said anyone concerned about potential injury or illness from the undeclared allergen should contact their health care provider.
Okay.
Customers who purchased the mislabeled salads are being asked to throw them away or return them to the store where they were purchased.
I would return them if that were my options.
How about just get over it?
Okay, headline is, woman casually walks off with a big TV from...
A big what?
TV.
A TV.
From Buffalo Wild Wings.
How?
Security
Aren't they
camera-
bolted down?
Yes, they are.
Did she cha-cha out?
Security cameras... I wonder if she put it up under her shirt like the guy we had with the hoodie that stole the blinds that time.
That's true.
Security cameras were rolling at Buffalo Wild Wings in West Virginia when a woman casually walked off with a TV from the patio. I'm like you, Craig. I'm saying that should be bolted down. Maybe they just had it sitting there for some reason. Who knows? The video.
Maybe service was so bad she didn't think anybody would notice.
She's like, I paid for a hamburger and this.
I'm taking this flat screen.
I got tuna salad. I'm taking this. The video shows the woman walking up to the patio. Oh, she wasn't even a restaurant. A customer.
She wasn't a restaurant? You're right. She's not a restaurant.
The video shows the woman walking up to the patio at the Nitro restaurant about 6:30 a.m. Sunday morning. So they weren't even open. Taking a large television off the wall. The woman then casually carries the TV across the parking lot and loads it into her gray Kia Soul.
Wow.
Yeah. It's not the only gray Soul she's got.
I was trying to think of a pun there. I couldn't come up with it. There's a restaurant not too far from here. Has a patio. Or I think they're gone now, but they had a patio with TVs outside. I thought, what stops somebody from just walking up and unbolting the TV?
It couldn't be that difficult. This lady did it.
I wonder if she did it during business hours.
No, it was 6:30 a.m. Sunday. They were closed.
Oh, it says, you know, Ernest, I don't read the details.
I noticed that. And you don't listen to me either.
What?
You see?
Huh?
Exactly.
Okay, we done?
Is it a food-themed episode all the way through today?
No, because the next one has to do with a tractor.
No, it's a sandwich.
No, it has to do with a sandwich.
Yeah.
A tractor that eats a sandwich.
No, not a tractor that eats
Let
a sandwich.
Let me read the story because I don't know what's going on.
This is from our sometimes guest, Sarah. She gave me this one.
Oh, okay then. Yeah. Shirtless sandwich-seeking tractor driver arrested.
Why? Is that against the law to be shirtless and seeking a sandwich and driving a tractor?
I can't answer that. This is in Omaha.
Oh, okay.
Adrian Latham, 41, was booked for operating during suspension, willful reckless driving, felony flight to avoid arrest, and felony criminal mischief after he crashed a tractor into a private residence early Wednesday morning.
That's a long sentence. You got through that pretty well.
I had to slow down. You know, I speed up a lot.
Yes.
And I had to slow down. That hurt.
Yeah.
That really hurt. Police say a little before midnight Tuesday, they received several 911 calls regarding Latham, who was shirtless, driving a red tractor erratically, and asking others for a sandwich. Police,
so, huh? This isn't like a tractor trailer. I had the vision.
You guys got a sandwich?
I had a vision of a tractor trailer. This is a tractor.
It's a tractor.
It's a red tractor.
This is a George Jones simulation here.
From Omaha.
But instead of a bottle of whiskey or something, it's a
sandwich.
It's a sandwich.
Yeah.
God rest his soul.
May he rest in peace.
He hit that bridge hard.
Boy,
he knocked that thing down. Ooh, that was bad.
Sad.
Whole other story.
Sad.
Anyway, rest in peace.
Yes.
Brother George.
Please.
The purple dotted possum. What they call him? They called him
the possum.
The possum or the polka dotted possum or something.
I don't know about polka dots.
What if that's Frank?
Yeah, Frank will know. He was the possum.
I think I said purple dotted.
You did. You did say
either
purple
way,
dotted.
Either way, I don't know. I was into that bottle he left me.
And he kind of looked like a possum. That's where he got the name from.
I thought it was polka dotted possum.
No, there's no polka dots involved in his possum.
Depends on what he had that day. Anywho, we ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
Police attempted to conduct a traffic stop in a Northwest Omaha Walmart parking lot, but Latham fled and drove recklessly, weaving through traffic lanes before swerving off the road and ramming into a metal gate. How fast was this tractor?
It must have been fast.
According to police, Latham was very confused and unable to provide his name following the crash. He was taken to Lakeside Hospital for possible drug overdose and complaint of foot pain and was medically cleared. Latham's driver's license has been suspended for more than a year for habitual driving offenses.
Well, no wonder he's driving a tractor then.
Yeah, he couldn't get anything else. The tractor was impounded at the Omaha Police Department for safekeeping because it's unknown who the owner is. Well, the owner
it was a hot tractor.
The owner picked up the key and turned into the tractor.
That could be it.
Another flashback.
Yeah, another flashback. Sticking with our food-themed episode today, headline is, Man Strangled Woman for Not Making Steaks Fast Enough. It's another food anger story,
yeah,
Craig.
Yeah, it sure
You know,
is.
We've had thrown pork chops.
Strangely enough, not a millennial.
We've had stabbings over food being cold.
We've had burritos thrown.
We've had burritos offered to police.
No, we had one early on.
Yes.
When Doug was involved.
That's right.
And they threw one. The lady threw one across the kitchen.
Well, here's the story. A man upset because a woman wasn't making his steaks fast enough is accused of trying to strangle her to death, state police
say. Well, they're not going
to
get made any faster doing that, are they?
Guess what his name is? Richard Earl.
Richard Earl.
Oh, Richard Earl Steimer, age 46, of Tyrone, was charged.
There are so many good words in there.
Was charged with strangulation.
Earl Steimer and Tyrone.
Richard Earl. He don't have friends named Richard Earl.
He gets better. He's in Snyder.
So he's in Snyder Township, and that's in Blair County. Steimer is accused of pushing the woman to the floor, grabbing her around the neck, and stopping her from breathing. He then punched her in the face when she tried to defend
that
herself.
That is not right.
Somebody needs to get their hands on Steimer and bash him in the face. So he ran away after the victim was able to flee, but he was arrested Wednesday at his home.
Hey.
Yeah, yeah.
What? This is a story you're going to like.
No, I don't like this story.
Because you love snakes.
I hate snakes.
I'm going to bring a snake one day. We're going to live snake.
I will not record if there's a snake anywhere near this place.
So we got nowhere to go but up.
All right.
Animal control officers uncover 80 snakes and a pool full of alligators.
What the?
Animal control officers on Thursday discovered a congregation. Oh, it's a church.
They were having church.
Yeah. Of alligators and dozens of venomous snakes inside a Thousand Oaks home where twice in the last 3 years, a cobra has gotten loose.
There you go.
And terrorized neighbors.
Absolutely.
Said.
If there's a cobra on the loose in our neighborhood, I would bolt the doors.
And you know the bad thing about cobras? They don't look like cobras till they stand up and
go. It's like they open their face.
Yeah. It's like their whole face opens up.
And a lot of them could just spit at you and kill you. They don't have to get near you. Cobras are Satan. They're Satan.
Yeah, they are. Hours after investigators searched the property and recovered at least 84 snakes.
Man, I wouldn't want to be one of those investigators.
Ventura County Sheriff's officials led the homeowner, Todd Cates, away in handcuffs, Sergeant Eric Bouchal.
Absolutely.
Said.
Get him out of here.
Just 8 weeks ago, Cates' next-door neighbor spotted a cobra slithering onto the property.
Time to move.
The neighbor responded by driving a car over the snake,
Good. Killing
it, and some snake lover's going to go, cutie snake.
I hope so. I should kill every cobra on earth.
Yeah.
Even the ones that stand up and dance to flutes and whatnot.
Yeah, because you know why? They live in baskets. How can you trust them?
You can't trust the basket livers.
And have you heard the music they dance to?
Yeah.
No musical taste
it's
whatsoever.
Terrible.
Investigators determined the snake had come from the home next door, where in 2014 an albino monocled cobra had escaped. So this is a white cobra with a little monocle on one of his eyes. He's very dignified.
He said, I can't see very well.
Hey, buddy.
Can you get me a little monocle? He stuttered too.
he had to go into like lens crafters, and they're like, ah. He goes, no, man. I see. I just need a. I just need a monocle.
Sorry, I spit on you. You're probably gonna die.
You're probably gonna die. You might want to wipe that off. Anywho, he eluded capture for days and while keeping everybody on edge. That snake ultimately was captured, but not before biting a 7-year-old whippet named Tico.
A whippet
good.
Whip it.
The more recent cobra raised alarms and prompted a new investigation. The director of L.A. County Animal Control Unit, Marcia Mayetta, told reporters, animal control officers and local authorities served search warrants Thursday morning at Kate's home. Snake came to the door. There's no snakes here. In Thousand Oaks, and a rural address just outside the city limits where Kate's rented storage space for more reptiles. Inside a murky pool on Thousand Oaks property, officers found 8 crocodilians.
Oh, my gosh.
Each 2 to 3 feet long.
What is wrong with this person?
They were American alligators. You know how they could tell?
How?
Little flags. They're waving little flags. Investigators had to drain the pool.
I thought you were going
to
say they were overweight.
they were lying around watching TV. Investigators had to drain the pool to see whether other predators were lurking at the bottom.
Drain the swamp? Oh, didn't mean to get political.
More snakes, some venomous, were found elsewhere on the property. Altogether, about 84 snakes were recovered.
Good night.
As well as tortoises,
ooh,
birds, and other animals.
Now, those I can handle.
Among the very dangerous venomous reptiles were a spitting cobra, king cobra, and at least one monocled cobra. But again, that guy's cool.
Yeah, yeah.
The monocle one's cool. He can stay.
Yeah, he can't do anything like snap at people because his monocle
will fall off.
Yeah, he's got to be very still.
It's tethered, but it still falls.
Yeah,
it gets
still
lost
does.
Up under his belly. And just, it's very embarrassing. He's so cute in it.
Headline is, Edmonton spends 3 years rebranding itself, comes up with, you know what their new name is? Edmonton.
Yeah, well, hey, if it's not broken. And the genius in the plan is that they saved all those dollars they would have lost the next year in the budget.
Why do they always make it so easy to poke fun at those people up in Edmonton? Edmonton city officials have been going through the process of rebranding the city's images after dropping their City of Champions slogan in 2015. And after 2 million and years of planning, Alberta's capital says that the word mark will be used in some campaigns, but is not meant to be an overarching logo.
Overarching?
That's what I said, overarching. Okay.
You can arch if you want.
So.
You can leave your friends behind.
So, what is the new slogan or logo? Apparently, Edmonton won't have a logo or a slogan anymore, but rather officials say it'll be the stories that make Edmonton the kind of city it is.
So they gave up.
Yeah.
They basically said, let's go get Buffalo Wild Wings. They left.
And a TV.
And a TV.
And we'll stick here with Edmonton. People have taken to Twitter with some pretty obvious and hilarious responses to the new, not new logo. Well done, Edmonton. We really like the maple leaf placement.
Wow.
How funny is that?
Hey, take us down to Florida.
You ready?
Here you go.
In
Florida, I went berserk. Florida man skips out on $6 bar tab, tells cops he's a sovereign citizen.
Well, what's that got to do with anything?
I guess he's untouchable.
Do sovereign citizens get free drinks?
Well, apparently he thinks he can't be touched, I guess.
Okay.
Can't touch them.
Dun-dun-dun-dun.
A Florida man allegedly skipped out on a $6 bar tab, but getting out of jail is going to cost him a few thousand.
Cha-ching!
Kevin Charles Conklin, 54, was arrested on the 4th of July after Lady Lake police were called to a restaurant in Lady Lake. When officers got to Margarita Republic, Conklin
was... I wonder
if
Jimmy Buffett was there.
Yeah, he was there earlier. He had to cruise on back home.
Oh, yeah, he stepped on that Pop-Tart.
Pop-Tart? What? If I stepped on a Pop-Tart, I'd probably still eat it.
Oh, absolutely, especially if it was just, you know, strawberry.
Yeah, well, if it was a frosted one.
I like coffee and strawberry Pop-Tarts, but with like milk, I like chocolate.
I like cold out of the pack, strawberry frosted or blueberry frosted.
Oh, those are the two. Those are my two favorites, too, but those are best with coffee.
Can we get back to Margaritaville here?
You don't like Pop-Talk? Pop-Talk?
Pop-Talk? This is Pop-Talk. This has been...
Talk about.
This has been Pop-Talk.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Thanks for joining us. Next week, we'll talk about...
Muffins
or something. So,
yeah,
when officers got to Margarita Republic, Conklin was making profane statements to customers. He wouldn't pay his tab, according to the Village's news. Conklin jumped an officer's car. He jumped an officer's car.
Wow.
And he chipped an officer's front tooth while resisting arrest. He should go see Corey Feldman's dentist.
Oh.
Conklin reportedly informed the officer that he's a sovereign citizen and did nothing wrong.
Well, how about that? I think he did.
He's in Florida. He's crazy.
Okay.
Not everybody in Florida is crazy.
No,
just
they're
this
not.
Guy. Just the ones on this show are.
Possibly, headline is, possibly most intense Star Wars versus Star Trek argument ever ends in an arrest.
Ever.
That had to get intense.
Look, people.
You know, I've never seen a Star Trek.
I'm not going to take sides, but obviously Star Wars is better.
It has to be. Has to be.
I'm not taking sides, but I'm going to say Star Wars is better.
An Oklahoma City man was arrested last Saturday after police responded to a domestic disturbance in a force, or perhaps a rip in space-time. Two roommates were arguing over whether Star Wars or Star Trek was the better movie, and things got intense.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
If we're talking the movies, don't even start with Star Trek The Motion Picture, the worst movie ever made. It's a horrible movie.
That's not the one that...
It was the first movie.
Okay,
the
okay.
Picture.
Yeah, the older ones are all terrible, aren't they? I've heard. But the new one was supposed to be fantastic.
Well, wait, you talking TV or movie?
No, the movie.
The
new
movies,
movie.
There was Star Trek The Movie. Yeah. It was horrible. But kind of the rule goes the even number ones are good.
Okay. But so the latest
four,
one...
Huh?
The latest one... Directed by...
The J.J. Abrams ones are a totally different class.
Yeah, they're supposed to be really good.
Yeah, you haven't seen them?
No, I haven't.
What's wrong with you?
I've never seen a Star Trek. I don't want to break my
record.
Chris Pine.
Chris Pine is awesome.
You know, I've never had a pistachio either, and you tried my best. Yeah.
And you know what's sad is the guy played Chekhov, what's his face? He just died.
Really?
The guy that got smashed between his car and his gate. Anton Yelchin.
Yeah, sad, sad.
Yeah, he was really good, too.
Can I get back to the story now?
I don't know. I kind of want to cover all this right now before we decide.
A police report provided to the ARS does not specify precisely which of the myriad movies and or shows the men were griping about. However, it does say that during the argument, the victim, Bradley Warren Burke,
BWB,
went on to his room in the same building. The two men, who Burke said were not friends, were merely acquaintances, kind of like me and you, Craig, live at a transitional living program, an emergency shelter for homeless young men. Okay, that explains a lot, right there.
They're already pent up anger.
Yes,
they don't need
yes.
you messing with their sci-fi.
One of them likes Star Wars, one of them likes Star Trek.
Yeah.
Let's just leave it at
Coke,
that.
Pepsi, whatever.
As he did so, Burke told his neighbor, 23-year-old Jerome Dwayne White, that White was just a trick. And I have no idea what that means. This angered White, who next shouted back at him, "You want to replay that?" I like that.
Yeah.
Instead of repeat.
You want to replay that?
You want to replay that? As he shoved Burke to the ground, White began choking Burke, which resulted in Burke falling in and out of consciousness.
Oh, no.
Scary. In the scuffle, Burke reached for a nearby pocket knife to defend himself. White seemingly tried to grab it away and managed to cut himself, at which point he retreated. White was charged with assault and battery and possession of marijuana and was taken to the county jail.
Wow.
So just pick your favorite movie and don't argue with others.
Here's the thing. People have a love for Star Trek.
And vice versa. They have a love for
Star
Trek.
Star Wars came along later.
Yeah.
Star Wars has its place. Star Trek has its place.
They're different universes.
For me personally, I like Star Wars.
Well, don't mention that to White.
But I'm not a fanboy. Like, I'm not.
Me either.
I'm not fanatical about
it. Yeah. It's like not REO Speedwagon or anything. It's a movie.
Like, if it was like a good band.
Yeah, like REO Speedwagon.
Like, if it was a good band, we wouldn't be arguing about REO Speedwagon. I would say, you would just name any other band.
REO Speedwagon. Like, they're the greatest rock band in America history. So you can't really top them. Can we get the next story? It's food related.
Ready?
Yeah.
Pizza slice thrown out vehicle window. What did it land in my mouth?
What a waste.
Pizza slice thrown out vehicle window. Teen charged with assault.
Wait a minute. He threw a pizza slice at somebody?
Might have been extra crispy or something.
That's kind of a fight I want to be involved in right there.
I don't know. I can get behind that.
Yeah.
An 18-year-old who threw a slice of pizza out of a vehicle window at someone has been charged with assault. Police were called about an alleged assault at a Thornburn Road property in St. John's around 6:30 p.m. Sunday.
Yeah, going down to Thornburn.
It was Thornburn.
That's probably some expensive pizza coming from Thornburn.
We're assuming a lot here. It could be the worst part of town.
It could be.
But it sounds like Thornburn.
It sounds uppity.
The man said he was on his property near the street when the passenger in a passing vehicle threw a slice of pizza at him. It was just pizza delivery.
That's it. Real quick.
It's extreme delivery is what they call it.
This guy was full. He had enough pizza and his buddies were in the car. He said, "Hey, y'all, watch this. You see that man?"
His Uncle Rico was in the back of the car.
He's about to have a pepperoni to the face.
The pizza slice missed the man, but he called police to show officers video surveillance of the incident. As a result, the Royal Newfoundland Constabulary...
Too bad they couldn't find the police.
I guess it's just a constable.
Yeah.
Charged the 18-year-old with assault. Police said the two men know each other, and there may be some history between the two. So really, of all the big things happening...
So the other guy must have thrown a cheeseburger at him at one time or
something.
He
threw a piece of pizza and missed the guy, and the guy still needed to call the police.
That's ridiculous. You know what I'd have done? Nothing.
I'd said, you know what, I'm calling the police. I'm calling the police if you don't take me right now and get me a brand new pizza.
That's right, because this missed.
It would all be forgotten.
Headline is, camping teen awakens to crunching sound, Craig. As a bear is biting his head. Oy!
To make a crunching sound, Oy! You have to have something crunching inside your head.
Wait a minute. This comes to us from CNN. Can we even believe it?
Probably not.
We got
okay, you've been teetering on the thing the whole show. Okay, you've already made two different things.
We don't get political on Weird. Ever.
Except today.
A camp staffer at a Christian summer camp in Colorado received medical care after he was made awake early Sunday
awake.
That's what it says.
Not awakened.
No, he was made awake early Sunday by a bear chewing on his head. The 19-year-old said that he thought he was dreaming as he heard a crunching sound, only to wake up in immense pain as the black bear attempted to drag him away from the Glacier View Ranch campsite. Colorado Parks and Wildlife spokeswoman Jennifer Churchill told CNN.
Man, you know, we got that dinosaur of a dog at the house now.
Yes, he's awesome.
And he is, and he doesn't know how powerful he is. And he can actually hit my hand with his teeth by accident. Not bite, but just just swipe at. Like, we're playing, and he just hits like I hit something with my hand.
A microphone or something.
And it hurt, like I just did.
Yeah.
And it hurts. I couldn't imagine a bear that's intentionally giving you the business end of those teeth.
The crunching noise, I guess, was the teeth scraping against the skull as it dug in,
the victim said.
It grabbed me and pulled me. Then it bit the back of my neck and dragged me. Ooh, it was going for the kill right there, Craig.
Mm-hmm.
The animal managed to drag the teenager for about 10 to 12 feet. That's 10, 12 feet. That is way too long.
This is like that DiCaprio movie. What was it? He got attacked by the bear.
Oh, yeah. The Revenant.
The Revenant.
The Revenant.
Only good part of the movie was that we thought.
I love that movie.
Is that we thought that DiCaprio was going to die for real.
I love DiCaprio. What is wrong with you?
That was a bad
movie. He's a fine actor, and it was a great movie.
Whatever.
Okay, so it was finally scared away by other staff members. When it was dragging me, that was the slowest part. It felt like it went on forever. I'm sure it did. You talk about panic attack.
We've talked about this before. I've watched some of those shows on A&E or whatever.
Yeah,
Discovery,
Near Death
Animal Planet or
Weird Death.
And these people talking about these bears, like, you know.
The bears.
Picking them up by their head stuff. And just
shaking them. That's scary.
He was shaking.
Yes, bears scare me, period. I mean, even where we live, you know, we don't see many bears around here, but I'm always on the lookout for them.
Well, beautiful creatures.
Not really.
No, they're beautiful.
No, I don't think so.
But they have a tendency to want to eat people.
I wouldn't call them the REO Speedwagon of the wildlife by any means.
Yeah, they're not that bad. Drunk driver goes to police to bail out drunk driver.
Oh, boy. His runs in the family.
Send in somebody who knows what's going on. That's all I'm saying.
Let me tell you how this happened.
The guy that's best qualified.
Also, I wasn't a witness.
I didn't tell you exactly what happened.
But I got to know what I know this guy.
The Slidell, Louisiana. Is that Slidell?
Slidell.
Louisiana Police Department says they pulled over a car and arrested the driver on suspicion of driving while intoxicated. The car was left in a parking lot, and the other people who were in the car got a cab ride home. Who gets a cab ride?
Let's call Uber.
We'll call Uber.
Or walk.
Yeah. Police say a woman who had been in the car later went back to pick it up. They say she took the car to the police station to try to bail out her friend.
Explanation point. Whoever wrote this was excited about that sentence.
Because they knew what was coming next. They say she was also drunk, and they put her in jail, too. The police department posted about it saying, lesson of the day, don't drive drunk to a police station in order to bail out your drunk friend.
Well, if it's okay with you, I'm going to go back to the food theme, because this is...
Well, we like these. You know what? We have a thing about McDonald's here.
Headline is, mom wants apology after son gets... Oh, my gosh, Craig. Here we go.
And it's at a McDonald's.
I love a McDonald's.
We don't get these kinds of incidents from Dairy Queen.
Heck, no, we don't.
They do everything right, except they don't send us free ice cream.
Well, yet.
They will eventually.
I need to go talk to them.
McDonald's is great, not for their food, but for their stories.
They have you know what? That's because there's one on every corner in America. There's so many of them.
Well, there are Walgreens on every corner in America, but I don't hear these stories.
Well, we did have the guy that set his underwear on fire in the Walgreens that time.
That poor guy.
Yeah.
He was panicked, though.
Yeah, he was. Headline is, mom wants apology after son gets covered in human waste at McDonald's.
Never mind the fact he crawled into the toilet.
This is disgusting. This comes to us from Manchester, New Hampshire. A woman is demanding an apology and is raising questions about the cleanliness of a Manchester McDonald's after her son became covered in human waste in the playpen.
Oh, this is the ball crawl story we all hear about.
Yes. Justina Whitmore said that when she let her son play, she knew he may be covered in germs. Germs, yes. Poop, no, she said. She said that she never imagined her 5-year-old would emerge from the yellow slide covered.
It wasn't even hidden in the balls.
Covered in another child's waste. I was still eating. This whole story is making my stomach hurt.
Oh, I'm going to vomit.
I was still eating, and the next thing I know, he comes out and just says that there's poop all inside the slide, she said. When he came out, he was covered in poop.
That kid must have had to go bad.
Oi. Gabriel said that he was playing tag with another child. Don't play tag with that kid.
You're it.
I'm I just had a funny that we can't say. Gabriel said he was playing with another child playing tag who apparently had a soiled diaper.
Had being the operative.
It was because he went down the slide first, he said, and then I couldn't help it, and it went all over me. But that's what happened after the incident that the mother finds even more outrageous. There was no soap in the bathroom, Craig.
That's just a normal day at McDonald's.
Yes, it is. And when she asked employees for help, she said they just laughed at her. That's terrible. They just laughed at her?
I question that part.
I went over to the counter and I said, are you going to give me any paper towels to clean up and to help clean my son off? Or are you just going to stand there? And they were just laughing and
I would have walked 3 miles to the first car wash and just hit him with the wand.
Yeah, absolutely. For 10 minutes, Justina sat, she said, as she was pleading for assistance, only to have the employees ignore her and take smoke breaks or act like children. It was at that point, just using my bare hands, and fortunate one of his socks did not have... Oh, my gosh. She had to use the child's own socks to clean him with. Easy, Craig. Her friends started taking video. I don't want to see this. I got no...
Well, video for evidence.
I have got no way. I'm sure employees who go to the bathroom, Whitmore said. There's no soap. How are they going to wash their hands? So, anyway, Boston 25 News received a statement from the owner, Michael Gambino.
Ooh. Oh, no. Whoa. Sorry, Mr. Gambino. We made a mistake.
Take it all back.
We made a mistake, Mr. Gambino.
That wasn't poop at all.
It wasn't even your McDonald's. In fact, what was it? You know what it was?
What was it?
Chocolate milkshake. It was a Wendy's. I was at Wendy's.
It wasn't even there. Anyway.
Wendy's. That's my brother, Joey Twofish. That's his place.
Here's what he said. You know, the safety and the well-being of our customers, you know, that's our top priorities. I kill you. We are investigating the situation, and we won't take any more appropriate measures to address it. Okay? Okay.
Did he say we won't take any?
No, he said he will. He'll take any of them.
Here's the thing.
Go ahead.
Don't go up against anybody whose last name ends in a vowel.
Heck no. O or A or anything.
Anything. Hey.
Yeah, yeah.
Troublemaker Ducks booked for loitering.
Wait a minute. They arrested ducks?
You got to do what you got to do. New Milford. Four ducks were taken into Great Bend Police custody Tuesday night on a charge of loitering outside a Susquehanna County gas station. It's just one 4th of July. No one will ever forget.
Especially
Cindy
the poor ducks.
Osecki said. It was a phone call from police she was definitely not expecting to get. I thought it was funny. I'm like, are you serious? They were like, yeah, we took them because I guess people were trying to take my ducks and everyone was feeding them. Even a cop fed them bread, Osecki said. Dosuckies?
At least he didn't give him a donut.
Her name's Dosuckies?
Yeah.
Dosuckies?
Stay thirsty, my duck.
The ducks are home safe now with Dosuckies and her family. They are back swimming in the creek behind her New Milford home along Montrose
Street. Well, I hope
Street,
they learned their lesson,
less
Craig.
Than a mile from the pump and pantry.
They're hardened.
Is it like a gas station or something? The pump and pantry?
Must be.
It's not.
Don't eat the cheese.
It's not like they were far from home. Don't eat the cheese.
Yeah.
That was the first time I ever saw they went up to pump and pantry because normally they go to my neighbors.
I bet the neighbors call the cops too. Headline is author of book titled How to Survive the Bulls of Pamplona is gored by bulls in Pamplona. So, don't read that book if you're going to Pamplona to run with the bulls. You know, my brother did that. My brother went there and ran with the bulls.
Wow, that's crazy.
You know my brother, Alan.
Yeah, only Alan can make it work, though.
He
got out there alive.
And here's another story about Alan. He made it into Sports Illustrated by doing that. Yes, his picture was in Sports Illustrated.
Why? Oh, because he was running for the bulls.
Yeah, running from the bulls.
And he wasn't gored.
No, he was not. He wasn't Al Gore, either. One of the two men gored at the second annual Running of the Bulls Festival in Pamplona today co-authored a book titled Fiesta, How to Survive the Bulls of Pamplona. Boxer-turned-rider Bill Hillman, age 35 from Chicago, who was gored at the same festival in 2014, tweeted, I got gored this morning, but I'm fine. 3 years ago, he co-authored the book about Running of the Bulls, and in 2015, he returned to the festival despite being gored. Hospital bosses have hospital bosses. What is this, like a mafia hospital?
Like the
Gambino?
Yeah, again, I'm not saying. I don't know.
Okay, hospital bosses have confirmed a 22-year-old American described as the most seriously injured of the 10 people hurt at today's morning run was the man filmed being thrown up in the air and then dragged along the ground and trampled.
Well, that's pretty obvious. He's probably the guy then, right?
Probably. The 9-day Spanish fiesta became world famous with Ernest Hemingway's 1926 novel, The Sun Also Rises. Good book. I've read that one, actually. Yesterday, Red Cross officials...
Thank you?
Yeah. No, thank you.
Thank you for letting me know.
Red Cross officials said two men had been gored. One, ouch, one where you don't want to be gored if you're a man, and another in the chest. I wouldn't want to be gored there either. But
I don't want to be gored anywhere.
During the first run.
That's crazy. That so did crazy. Alan? Did Alan come close to getting gored or anything?
Nah. He, you know, the bulls. They all gathered around Alan.
The bulls were all like smoking. Yeah, they talking to Alan.
They wanted to hear him.
And they were like, "Excuse me, senor, can we have the bulls?"
Yes.
North Carolina newspaper runs mean obituary for great grandmother who will not be missed.
That's terrible.
A North Carolina newspaper published a scathing, possibly plagiarized obituary of an 82-year-old great grandmother that accused her of being a drug addict, enraging her relatives.
Well, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it?
He didn't say she was a drug addict. He said he just bought all his drugs from her.
Well, she was either rich or a drug addict.
The spiteful send-off ran 4 months after the Gainesville, Florida native's February 23rd death.
Wait a minute. Why are you going to run an obituary
for four months? I don't know.
And it 4 months after her death. I mean.
Beats me.
Okay.
I bet there's code in the obituary.
Oh, I bet there is. Either that or he was just trying to make her family very angry.
Maybe. But her son, Robert Miller, said his late mom wasn't a drug addict, nor was she despised.
Well, that's good news.
The whole thing is just sad.
Yes.
He moved down from like Boston or something. He told the local ABC affiliate earlier this week, "It's unbelievable that my sisters would write this."
Oh.
Oh, no. The plot thickens.
His sisters wrote it.
The appalling obit references two sisters, and the outraged 62-year-old son initially pinned the blame on both of them. The obituary read in part, "Drugs were a major love in her life, as June had no hobbies, made no contribution to society, and rarely shared a kind word or deed in her life. Please let June Miller's life be a cautionary tale. Addiction and hatred are no es bueno.
No bueno.
For the living. We speak for the majority of her family when we say her presence will not be missed.
Oh,
by
my
many,
goodness.
Very few tears will be shed, and there will be no lamenting over her passing."
Okay, I want to know the backstory.
I don't know, but that's really funny the way they wrote that.
But it's terrible.
It's terrible.
I mean, this poor woman's no longer with us.
But here's the bright side.
What?
She doesn't care.
No. All right, we got a drone story. Headline is, drone dropped tools enabling inmate to escape. Prison officials say a South Carolina inmate used wire cutters and other tools like mobile phones believed to be dropped from a drone to coordinate his escape from a maximum security prison.
That is something I never would have considered.
Wouldn't have thought. You'd think they'd have the, you know, you can't fly drones near an airport because they have the...
What about prisons now? They should do that.
They should
but
do
what
that.
If it was a wiener drone? You wanted to drop a hot dog. Because, you know, we had the hot dog.
Yeah.
Oscar Mayer thing.
Yeah.
What if he was just trying to drop a hot dog to the guy?
No, it wasn't a hot dog, though. Jimmy Causey was arrested in Friday in Austin, Texas, about 1,200 miles away from the Lieber Correctional Institute outside of Charleston. Authorities said prison officials believe the 46-year-old man serving a life sentence for kidnapping his attorney escaped around 8 p.m. on July the 4th. The authorities had not realized the convict was gone until about 2 p.m. the next afternoon. Well, somebody's in trouble over that.
Yeah.
Causey had cut through four fences to escape. We 100% know that a cell phone was used or multiple cell phones were used while he was incarcerated, and we believe a drone was used to fly in the tools that allowed him to escape. So said Brian Sterling, director of the South Carolina Department of Corrections.
Wow.
You know, drones... you can use them for all kind of stuff, and the model that I own has actually picked up a kettle, a cast iron kettle.
Yours carries dust.
Lately, it does.
TV networks are purposely misspelling show names to avoid bad Nielsen ratings.
Oh, this is sneaky.
TV networks have figured out how to game the Nielsen rating system. It's as easy as playing dumb, literally. On days when programmers know their viewership will drop, like on holiday weekends or during sporting events, they accidentally misspell their show's name on the nightly Nielsen lineup, according to the Wall Street Journal.
That is dirty. And Nielsen, I bet you they're going to do something about that.
Nielsen is an antiquated way of even doing this. I don't know why.
True.
I don't know why they're even doing this.
That brings up a whole new conversation. Why do they still do that?
Oh, no. I mean, got a dollar in the mail one time from them. They wanted me to do it.
And I did it.
I spent their dollar.
But I know that for a fact they know how many like views they have.
Cable boxes. Yeah. You've got all these TV boxes.
If you if you record one on your DVR, you have to watch it within 3 days for it to be counted on the next count.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why they don't use the obvious stuff.
Yeah, that makes sense. I'm sorry to disrupt your story.
I mean, it's not my story. It's your story.
Oh, it's
our story. It's everyone's story.
It's a story.
Over the Friday of Memorial Day weekend, for example, NBC aired NBC Nightly News, spelled N-I-T-E-L-Y.
Mm-hmm.
instead of its usual NBC nightly NIGHTLY
yes.
news. So the holiday drop in viewership didn't affect its rating standing. Nielsen's automated system counted that misspelled show as an entirely different program. By doing this, NBC managed to gain ratings against its competitor, ABC World News Tonight. NBC apparently misspelled its shows 14 times since the start of 2016
wow.
to 2017 TV season, and it's not the only network to pull this tactic. This season, ABC did so 7 times with its World News Tonight spelled WRLD, while CBS replaced the CBS Evening News with CBS Evening News NWS 12 times.
So this is, I mean, this goes on.
Sad thing is, they obviously know they're doing it,
yeah.
so why don't they want to counter it
somehow?
I
bet they will. I bet this is going to change things.
Clearly, this method isn't much of a secret, although the Wall Street Journal points out that advertisers are catching on and are fed up with paying more for potentially disingenuous viewership counts.
Headline is, woman nabbed for drugs, demands them back, and is rearrested. This comes to us from Salem, New Hampshire. Authorities say a New Hampshire woman arrested for drug possession returned to the police station to demand the drugs be returned to her, and she was rearrested. I wonder if they returned it to her and then arrested her for having drugs. How
Maybe.
Are they? You can't get rearrested for just going to the police station to ask for a question.
Either way, they win.
An officer told 26-year-old Emily Morin of Concord he wouldn't return the Suboxone,
sure.
a highly addictive substance that can be used to treat heroin addiction. It was seized as evidence during her arrest stemming from a shoplifting incident on Tuesday. I'm trying to talk. The officer said he saw Morin get into a car and start to drive away. Earlier, police determined that Morin's license and registration had been suspended, so she was arrested after a struggle. That was the first arrest. Then she went back to the police station and said, hey, can I have my drugs back? And they said, yeah, here, take these.
You guys done with those yet?
Okay, now you're under arrest for having drugs.
Darn it.
Man gets stuck inside ATM room, slips help me notes through receipt slot.
Before you get into this story.
This is gaining some momentum this week. This is a good story.
It really is. And I'd like to thank, three of our listeners sent this story to us. And I really appreciate
and
that.
And your co-host.
And yes, and you sent it to me too.
Yeah.
So
That's
thank
what I'm saying,
you.
It's gaining momentum.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, thank you, listeners.
It's a funny story.
It is. Well, yeah. Corpus Christi, we have a once-in-a-lifetime situation that you will probably never see or hear again, said Corpus Christi Police Senior Officer Richard Olden. Officer Olden is talking about the rescue of a contractor that got stuck fixing an ATM room in the 400 block of Mesquite Street at the Bank of America.
That's awesome.
Police say the contractor was working on changing a lock inside a room that connects to the ATM around 2 p.m. Wednesday afternoon. Officer Olden says he leaves his phone in his truck. He's installing a new lock on the door and gets locked inside the building where the ATM is. But he's a locksmith. Can he get out?
I don't know.
He couldn't get out.
It's just hilarious.
Since the ATM still works, people were stopping by to get cash, and the contractor decided to slip notes out through the receipt slot stating, please help. I'm stuck in here, and I don't have my phone. Please call my boss. Officer Olden said people thought it was a joke, but
yeah.
someone took it seriously and called the police. We come out here, and sure enough, we can hear a voice coming from inside the machine, so we are thinking this is a joke. It's got to be a joke, Olden said.
Help me!
It turns out it was true, and the employee said afterward he got stuck changing out an electronic lock. Later, the contractor's supervisor arrived, and police had to kick down a door to get the gentleman out of the ATM room.
Wow.
Olden says everything is okay, but you will never see this in your life, that someone was stuck in an ATM. It's just crazy.
That really is crazy. All right.
Poor guy.
Funny, though. All right, Craig, here we go. You ready for this week's top 10 Mark Patch?
It's the Mark Patch top 10.
Speaking of Mark Patch.
What?
We should get him to help us with the top. It's named after him, right?
Right. Because he paid his bill.
Yeah.
And,
so
he wrote the theme song.
I'm going to get him on the phone here. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Mark, you there? Hey, we got Mark.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, Mark.
Okay, this week's top 10 list is the top 10 fascinating facts about the Mars Candy Company. I love candy.
Yeah, we know.
That's no secret.
We know.
Anybody, even if you don't know me, you could look at me and say, there's a man that loves candy.
I love candy, too.
Mark, do you like candy? Do you have a sweet tooth?
I'm a candy guy.
Are you? Hey, let's stop the top 10, because I'd like to thank Mark, by the way, for that incredible theme music.
I just said that a minute ago, and you ignored me.
I did ignore you, because I was excited that Mark was on the phone, for one thing. But Mark...
Yeah.
Tell us about some of your music. Where can we find your music online and stuff like that? Is it available?
I just actually, you guys be happy to hear this, I just uploaded the theme song from your show.
Nice.
And closing song, put it together as one song and released it on, it's on iTunes, Amazon, and Google Play.
Wow. Very cool. You're going to have to send us links to that so we can put it on our show page.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Sure thing.
Plus, you're a published author, and we did post your link to the book on our social, but we need to put that on our website as well.
Oh, cool. Well, thanks.
No, thank you.
Okay, here's number 10. All right. Be ready.
Top 10 fascinating facts about the Mars Candy Company.
Number 10, Mars has moved recently to remove artificial dyes from their products.
I don't care about artificial dyes.
I don't either, as long as it tastes good. But I guess that's a good thing.
I guess.
People are allergic to this stuff.
I'm not allergic to sugar.
We should have sent Mark this list so he could.
I said that also earlier, and you ignored me.
Sorry, Mark.
Number 9, Mars has been criticized in the past for their chocolate buying practices. Look, we barely made it to Mars. How are we going to know what their practices are?
Well, they got the kids up there. You know, the slave kids.
The slave kids making the chocolate. Mark, yes. How do you feel about slave kids on Mars making chocolate? That says everything right there.
Yeah.
Number 8.
Number 8, the Reese's Pieces and E.T. were supposed to be M&M's, but the Mars Company declined.
I thought everybody knew that.
I didn't know that.
That's been a story since it came out. Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. M&M's, the company, they shrugged at the whole thing, and so they went to Reese's Pieces, and the rest is history.
Didn't they? I thought they invented Reese's Pieces, because that was a new candy at the time, and I thought it was just like
that
a commercial.
Just the timing, I think.
Mark, do you prefer M&M's or Reese's Pieces?
Ooh, that's a tight one. I like them
both. Well, I think I will ditch Reese's Pieces because I think the peanut butter M&M's blow them away.
I've never liked Reese's Pieces.
I'm not a big fan, but the have you had the M&M's that are peanut butter?
Yeah, those are good. Yes. Are good. But see, Reese's is chocolate and peanut butter. Reese's Pieces, just peanut butter.
It's not even real peanut butter.
No, it's like candy-coated fake peanut butter. But Mark likes them, so we better not talk bad about it.
Okay, this is something I didn't know. Number 7.
Go ahead.
Mars owns Uncle Ben's rice and has tried to smooth over the controversially racial roots. I had no idea that a planet owned. Oh, is that joke over now?
I think it's funny that it's controversially racial roots. I thought the book Roots was meant to be controversial.
I mean, and what about everyone who's got a black uncle named Ben? He's an Uncle Ben. He is Uncle Ben.
Or a white uncle named Ben.
Well, my point being, they're saying that because it's a black guy on the box, that's what I'm saying. Why is that racially motivated?
I didn't do it. You did it.
It's your fault. What do you think, Mark?
It's his fault.
Okay.
Wait. Whose side are you on here? All right, number 6. Mars got in a dust up with vegetarians in the United Kingdom.
There's two things about that number 6 right there.
Yeah.
I don't care and I don't care. Number 5. The Snickers bar was actually named after a horse.
Yeah, the horse's name was Barney.
Yeah. His name was Lucky. They ground him up and made a Snickers bar out of him.
Oh, number 4. During World War II, M&M's were only for soldier rations.
I'd sign up.
That'd get me to sign on the line.
Number 3. The Mars Company also owns pet food brands Pedigree and Whiskas.
Whiskas. I like Whiskas.
You like to eat Whiskas?
No,
like,
no,
you
my
like cat
does.
Food?
My cat does, though.
You got a cat?
Yeah, I got a cat.
Mark, do you have a cat?
No. No cat.
You have a dog? You have a dog?
No dog.
Oh,
you
man.
Have no pets?
You got tarantula?
Yeah, the turtle. Two turtles.
That's a pet.
That counts.
What's his name?
They don't have names. They're turtle.
Yeah, just turtle one and turtle two. It's like George Foreman. It's just turtle, 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 and turtle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. My cat's name is Big Head Chuck.
That's a good name.
Yeah.
And he actually has a giant head. It's actually bigger
than
the
rest of
his body.
It really
does.
He's got a big head. All right, so number two is... The Three Musketeers has its name because it was once three flavors packaged together.
Really?
I wonder what the third flavor was. Because you've got
onion.
Nougat, you got nougat, and uh-huh. You got chocolate,
and then you had onion. It was the onion. It was the, and they had to get rid of the onion, kind of like the Betty Rubble Flintstone vitamin. There's no Betty Rubble.
I didn't know that.
Nobody cares about her. She's irrelevant. She's irrelevant. Like,
I care
like
about
you,
Betty.
Like you on this podcast. Number 1.
Go ahead.
I hear Mark either having an episode or snickering. I can't
he's probably trying to get a word in edgewise, like Sarah had to do last week.
Yeah, blame his internet delay.
Okay, I will.
Sarah had no excuse.
Sarah said that she kept wanting to make comments last week and couldn't get a word in edgewise.
You know why?
Why?
She's a newbie. She's not ready for this.
But Mark's a pro. Mark's been in front of microphones a lot.
And you know what he's got happening right now?
What?
Internet delay.
Yeah.
Although he can talk while we're talking. Yeah.
There he is.
Number 1. Ready for this one?
Yeah.
Number 1, top 10 fascinating facts about the Mars Candy Company.
Go ahead.
The Milky Way in the U.S. is the Mars bar in the United Kingdom.
I did not know that.
Mind did not know it either.
Blown. Mind blown.
Mark, do you remember when we were in high school, you and I toured with a major band for like one trip to, I believe it was Dollywood.
A major band.
Yeah.
We toured with a band to Dollywood.
Yep. Yep. Do you remember this trip at all? It was the Imperials.
You were
with? Not remember.
Yeah, I went with. Oh, I'm glad.
Wow. It's really getting framed up here how much Mark thinks of you.
No, Mark knew I actually love the Imperials. Still do.
Oh, okay.
But Mark's, how are you connected?
My dad was the sound man for him, and my uncle was one of the singers.
That's what I thought. Okay. So Mark comes to me and says, hey, you want to go on go on the bus with the Imperials to a show in Gatlinburg or Dollywood?
You think Mark would remember this?
I know. But that,
do you know how many shows I went to with them?
I'm sure. So what are you doing now, Mark?
We just moved up to Iowa, and we're
what,
seeing
lose,
where
did
we're
you lose
going
a
to
bet
go
or something? Did you lose a bet or something?
Well,
or do you have an affinity for potatoes?
No. Whenever you're in the music business and ministry, you move a lot.
Wow.
So are you with the new church or something?
Not right now, no.
Okay.
We're looking to see where we're going to go next.
Cool.
Hey, there's churches in Nashville, by the way. I don't know if you knew that or not.
But if you're going to, did you say Iowa or Idaho?
Iowa.
Okay, I got that wrong. I thought you said Idaho a minute ago. I was referring to potatoes. I got nothing for you in Iowa. It's just a boring landscape.
Well, thank you for joining us, Mark Patch, for the Mark Patch Top 10 list. And I'm going to keep you on the phone for a minute while we do this. Can you hear this in the background?
Yeah.
Ah, what a great closing song. All right, everybody, thanks a lot for joining us for this episode of Weird. Thanks, Mark Patch, for joining us for the top 10 Mark Patch list, and we will see you next time.
Bye.